And what I've seen is that the tension that most of us feel around boundaries has a lot to do with our own power. And when we feel powerless, we often seek control. And power is not the same as control. Welcome to the Soul Sourced Podcast, unconventional business advice for the highly creative, secretly sensitive, and wildly ambitious entrepreneur. I'm your host, Christine Kane. Let's do this. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode number 9 of the Soul Sourced Business Podcast. And in this episode, we are going to dive into a very big topic for many entrepreneurs, and that is the topic of boundaries. In particular, what to do when you find yourself in a situation where a line has been crossed, a boundary's been broken, and you feel whatever it is you tend to feel in these circumstances. How to navigate and communicate even when, and especially when, it's uncomfortable. But first, a lot of you have emailed to ask about the audio of my book and how the recording went last week, and I will just simply say it was intense. And it certainly makes me appreciate even more than I already do the people who are audiobook narrators by profession. I am a huge fan. I have an enormous professional crush on George Guidel in particular, and some of the people who read my favorite books. I just really am blown away by what goes into the craft of reading an audiobook. But I did finish my entire book in 3 full days of recording. What I learned, recording studios are freezing, always freezing, because they have to keep that equipment cool. I forgot all about that part. And then after a full day of recording, you would be amazed at how hard it is to say words like probably or toward. Toward was another one for me. But it is done, and it will be released when my book is released in November. You can grab that. It's called Soul Sourced Entrepreneur, and it's at Amazon right now. November of 2020 is when it comes out. So on to our topic of today's episode. This week, I've had a bunch of different questions from clients that all involved boundaries. So boundaries being broken, boundaries being questioned, and even an instance of potentially being the one to break a clear boundary that you yourself have set up. So whenever that happens, whenever a theme shows up in my coaching work, I know it's time to bring this topic out to the forefront. So I thought I would set this up by sharing an ugly and early backstage story in my music career. So this was probably the first or second year of performing music, and it was after my first CD had come out, I started getting invited to be the opening act for some very big name acts and some very cool people. And one of them was a female songwriter who I adored. And of course, that made me very excited for this show because I was such a big fan. And just so you're aware, when you're an opening act, typically what happens is that the headliner does their sound check, and then they head to the green room, and then in whatever time is left, you, the opening act, get to do your sound check. And so this woman, she finished her sound check, and then she went to the green room, and then I did my sound check. And I looked around backstage, and there was, you know, I couldn't tell where to go, and so I headed for the green room. And I was just outside the door of it, and she leaned out, and she said to me, "There's only one green room in this club, and you can't use it. I'm in here." And then she kind of looked at the fact that I had nowhere to go, and she points over at this like HVAC storage closet, which was like filled with heating equipment and stuff and ducts and stuff. And she goes, "Maybe you can go get ready in there." And then she pulled the door closed. Now, I am the youngest of 4, so I'm used to like getting stuffed in the backseat of cars and in the smallest bedroom at like rentals and things that we did as a family. And so there was a part of me that started to head toward the door like, okay. But then I realized I'm not going to fit in there. So I had to just sort of make do and set up the way I set up and use the public restroom and all that stuff. If you have never performed, and if you have never been put in some kind of like regular high performance situation in your work or business, then you might think to yourself, what an asshole. Which at the time, I sort of did. Mostly, though, I was just really bummed out because, like I said, I was a fan of this woman. But the conclusion of this story is that it's so easy to see her as the, you know, the bitch and me as the non-bitch, and to divide the world up into these categories of bitches and non-bitches and assholes and non-assholes. But the thing is, She wasn't a bitch. What she was clear on was her own needs. That's what she was. She was clear. In order to give the best performance that she could give, she knew she didn't want to have her one moment of privacy and space to get robbed by this little musician wannabe. You know, she was clear. She communicated her clarity. Granted, would have been really nice if she could have been a little bit more kindly in her communication about it. But okay, whatever. That probably should have been something the club owner did or her manager did. But no one had shared that, so she had to. And that's fine. As the recipient of her clarity, I am now free to tell the story how I want. And now I can see it for what it is, a woman being clear. In other words, there is no hero in this story. There is no victim in this story. There is no perpetrator in this story. It is simply someone being clear about boundaries. And that's going to be really important in the second part of this episode. And I will go ahead and admit, I actually already started recording this episode and I realized that I was covering a lot and I wanted to not run over time and draw this out. So I'm dividing this into two parts, and part two will come next week, and it is going to be about our core beliefs that cause us to break our own boundaries. We're going to start in today, though, talking about what to do when a boundary gets broken, which is what this performer was preventing from happening. Because most of us find ourselves at one point or another in our own version of a green room. And that green room is filled up with people we don't want in there. And rather than being clear enough to send them all to the HVAC storage closet, we set ourselves up for total resentment and possibly a terrible performance by not ever exploring our own needs and mending our own boundaries. So let's first touch on what I even mean by a boundary. Because too often people hear the word boundary and they think it means that they've got to get all Gandalf on people, you know, and be all like, you shall not pass. But that's not it at all. Boundaries are often things that you just know about yourself, ways that you need for working well, needs that you have in order to serve your clients or to perform well. Or the client, the kinds of clients that you work with, the kinds of clients you don't work with, the kinds of services you provide, expectations for the people who are on your payroll or people you pay, contractors. In essence, they are the standards that you have set. Some of these boundaries will need to be communicated up front, like you just say them right off the bat. But if they aren't, or the worst case scenario, if you've never even bothered creating any kinds of standards for yourself, then that's when things can get wonky. And if you own a business, boundaries are crucial. The issue of boundaries is going to come up at some point or another, because you have to just consider the groups of people that you work with as you grow your business. You have clients or customers. You have vendors. You have contractors. You have a team. You may hire mini-me's, people who ultimately do the work you do now. You also, along the sides, you have your friends, you have your family, you have your partner. And whenever there's people involved, there is a whole new dynamic. A lot of people like to talk about things like scaling your business and growing your business and exploding your business. But what they always conveniently neglect to mention is that each time you grow in some way, whether it's more people, more team, more clients, more customers, there's also more complexity, and that's because more people add a whole new dynamic. And so when I use the term secretly sensitive, when I describe the soul-sourced entrepreneur, I'm describing someone who is probably a little too attuned to the many energies of dealing with all of these people. And if you have what Martha Beck so aptly calls the approval whore running around inside of you as well, which, by the way, isn't necessarily a part of being sensitive. It's kind of a part of the pattern that gets created in your life as you navigate the world trying to please people in order to manage your energy. But if you have that syndrome, then the complexity and growth of a business will require that at some point you start to know yourself, that you be clear, and that you operate from a place of clarity, authenticity, and integrity in your interactions. It's very hard to scale if you have people traipsing all over you at every turn because you've never taken the time to pause and get clear and then be consistent with your clarity. And then what happens when this is not brought to the surface, when you have not dealt with it, is that when a boundary gets violated, our emotional self will take hold. And this is totally unconscious, y'all. And the emotional self is typically trapped at the age of about 17. And nothing good ever happens when you let a 17-year-old run your business or interpret what someone has done to you in your business or what something means in your business. And this speaks to our patterns and our fixations. So I'm going to say that a lot of you have heard me teach the Enneagram, and you know I use the Enneagram in my work. I've done that since about 2003, even when I was a musician. Last December, I did an in-person retreat called The Enneagram and the Entrepreneur. People still tell me about how powerful that event was for them. In fact, this past weekend, two people were sharing how it changed their lives as business owners. And I'm considering doing a podcast all about the Enneagram and the Entrepreneur. The point is, I use the Enneagram as part of the work I do as a business coach. And the reason for that and why it matters with boundaries is that too many of us, we have this pattern where we shame ourselves for whatever we're facing and whatever boundaries have gotten broken, because we have been told throughout our lives by other people who have totally different patterns from us to just get over it or to just grow a pair or to just be this way or that way. And in my experience as a coach, when we try to just get over it or grow a pair, it rarely works. And that's because that unresolved energy, that unfaced pattern will end up operating in the background. And often it shows up as resentment. And what it tends to do is magnetize similar situations. And then we end up operating way outside of our own needs or standards or truth. And we have to create all kinds of new fixes and personality quirks and all our little stories to compensate for the fact that there is a core wound or an unhealed pattern operating beneath the surface, and we have not taken the time to work with it or clear it. So when it comes to using something like the Enneagram, when it's done well, it lets us see our patterns from a compassionate and clear perspective and to clean up our act from an organic and mindful place, which is what I am hoping to help you with here on this episode. So what I'm going to do in this episode is I'm going to lay out a real life scenario, and then I'm going to share with you the steps I took with coaching this person in this situation, which is ultimately how I would coach you in any situation where you feel that your boundaries were trounced all over. And then in the next episode, I'm going to dive into the four key areas why we allow our boundaries to break at all. These are core beliefs that we have that operate unconsciously. So what we're going to do today here, though, is we're going to help teach you how to prep yourself for clearing your emotions, how to get ready for conversations, how to communicate with somebody when this is appropriate, and in the instance of what may appear to be a broken boundary. And I use the word appear very deliberately here because the whole idea of appearing to be broken, and that's because not everyone will see it that way. In our efforts to make sure everyone understands that they have broken the boundary, what we tend to do is we enter a territory of drama, and nobody, exactly nobody, gets served when we enter the territory of drama, least of all us and our own souls. So I'm going to open with the story that one of my clients brought to me. I'm going to call her Samantha. That's not her real name. But Samantha has a fairly new business. It's just over a year old, about a year and a few months. She's started to get successful. She started making some pretty good money. But Samantha quit her corporate job about a year ago, once her business started kicking. And her family and a few of her friends, they seem to be slow to take her very seriously, the fact that she has a business. And then COVID hit. And when COVID hit, Samantha's partner, who has an autoimmune disease, was considered high risk. And so what Samantha did at first was she started doing all the errands. And since her family is in her city, she offered to do some errands for her sister and a few of her friends, just because she was, in her words, trying to be nice. Well, as it turns out, her boundaries and her work schedule started getting all messed up. And now people call and they text her all times of the day. And she had started a Zoom call for a neighborhood group. And now she gets asked to run errands and to host that Zoom call. And her sister recently asked her to take her dogs when she had to leave town. In other words, Samantha has now become the go-to person everyone calls for all the ways they have been inconvenienced. And she says that everyone seems to think that she doesn't even have a business at all now. Her initial genuine kindness has been taken for granted, and she is very, very angry that she doesn't feel any power inside to call it all back and to reset her schedule, and she's feeling overwhelmed, lost, and kind of hopeless. Now, I'm going to admit it, this is an extreme case, but as overwhelmed as she was and as unfixable as this has felt to Samantha, I will always begin boundary issues with the three questions I'm about to walk you through. There's three questions that you want to review. Even as overwhelmed, no matter how overwhelmed you are, this is where you want to start, okay? The first question is actually really more of a step to take. And that step is to check back with your intention. What is your intention for your business this year? What is your intention for your life, your work, whatever that is for you? We always want to anchor back to our intention. And the thing I've seen is that we all love to set these glorious and noble intentions. And then we forget all about how our own intention may be shaping the current experiences in our lives as it is manifesting itself. And in Samantha's case, her business had just started to take off last year. She had set a pretty sizable income intention for this year and a really clear intention about no longer treating her own business like a hobby. So when she anchored back to that intention, she felt this instant little awakening, like a little wake-up call about how she had put on, we talk about it here at Uplevel, we call it putting on COVID goggles. And that is when you make all of your problems be about COVID, and therefore you get to conveniently ignore the fact that you, at least a little bit, used this whole COVID scenario to brush some of your own discomfort about your business under the rug, which is what Samantha admitted that had happened. She realized that was there. The second question that you want to ask yourself is this: how might this current situation be calling me to expand? In other words, when I review the intention I set, could this situation be showing me some pattern that is getting in the way? So there's a section in my book where I walk through an exercise that I call Alt 5. And what Alt 5 is really a method whereby you come up with five alternate ways of framing anything that happens to you in your business. It's quite a liberating process, but for now, let's just say that most of us have been trained throughout our lives to interpret our circumstances from kind of a broken place or from the place of blame, whether we're blaming ourselves or someone else. But consider that intentions typically don't just manifest. They often have this annoying tendency to clear anything unlike that intention out of the way, which means that in Samantha's case, her intention was to stop hiding and start treating her business like a business, not a hobby, and to increase her income. So this is a beautiful and elegant opportunity for her to spot the ease with which she could distract herself from her business. And the difficult thing in this question is trusting your intention and your power enough to break out of the old conditioning that says, I intended something, and then something uncomfortable and unexpected happened, so therefore I must not be meant to have my intention. I'm lame, or whatever you say to yourself. When you instead ask, how might this be calling me to expand? You're reframing that old pattern, that old story, and you take a look under the hood and you get to do a pattern interrupt, which once I invited Samantha to do this, she could do almost immediately. It was very, very easy to see how this was calling her to expand. The third question is, when exactly did I stop being clear? So if we look back at the green room situation I was in, if that performer were to have violated her own boundaries in that moment, she would have been able to point to the moment she saw me standing there with nowhere to go, and perhaps she felt sorry for me. But she didn't have that moment. But many of us would have had that moment, the moment we decide to throw out our needs and just, you know, quote unquote, be nice, or when we decide to just take the money or whatever it is for us. This is where you want to take responsibility and recognize that you were the one who broke the boundary or did the thing that continued to train people to walk all over your boundaries and your business. Now, once you complete these questions, you then have a choice about what action or actions you need to take. And one of the key things is going to be about whether or not you need to communicate to someone who has stepped across the boundary, or if it's just you going and realigning and setting up some new standards for your time and your energy and your money, whatever it might be. So with Samantha, what we decided was that she would go in and spend some time realigning her own business, setting up her time, setting up her energy, and doing a quick communication to everybody that her office hours were now in place. We created language for her to do that and then to get her back on course. In some ways, for someone in Samantha's situation, the easy part is to communicate those boundaries and just say, hey, I have these office hours now. The hard part is going to be for her to follow through with that regularly. And that's because there are very deep-seated unconscious reasons why some of us can so easily let our boundaries get broken in our business. And we will be covering that in the next episode. But first, I want to talk about the other action step that can be super uncomfortable and that many of us avoid once we realize that the boundary has been broken. We've posed these three questions, and now we have to communicate to somebody that a boundary has been broken. So one of the entrepreneurs I coached this week was dealing with a situation where someone that she had hired had broken an agreement, their initial agreement, by changing the times of their meetings over and over again. And my client was having to figure out how to change her whole schedule when she had already planned everything in advance based on that initial agreement. So she had to have a conversation. For some people, like her, the conversation can be the most intimidating thing, especially if you're pissed. Because most of us have never learned how to have a conversation setting a boundary and being clear without being accusatory or blamey or needy or smarmy in some way. But it is so good to get good at this because, like I said, if you're growing a business and you have people working for you, you simply can't be someone who avoids what Susan Scott calls fierce conversations. You know, these could also be called clear conversations. So when you need to have a conversation and you are feeling highly charged or there is something uncomfortable that needs to be shared, you don't just pick up the phone and let loose. This is why we tend to avoid these conversations. We think it's just a matter of knowing exactly what to say, picking up the phone and saying it. And most of us, we do not have that skill set. So I'm going to encourage you to consider doing some groundwork to understand how to communicate in order to rectify the situation. You do this for yourself and your own clarity and to clear the high charge of the situation. And I'm going to start this before we go into these questions. I want to start this by saying that when I talk about soul-sourced businesses, I realize that I am talking about a rare breed of person. You kind of have to want to break out of the old conditioning and drama that most people seem to think is entirely normal. So that means that sometimes you're inconvenienced and sometimes you're uncomfortable. And if that bothers you, fine, I get it. I'm not your coach. This is not your podcast. Totally cool with that. What I am about to share here is stuff that in the end is going to make you more successful, but not just in a bottom line financial kind of way. It's also going to make you more successful in a grounded, confident, centered, and real kind of way. And not many people are willing to take that on. Again, totally fine. But I'm going to walk you through some steps that you will first most likely want to write down, especially if you're new to this kind of thing, so that you can have like a direct experience of liberating yourself free from the drama, free from the accusation. Once you've done that work, that's when you have the conversation. And you guys, there have been times that I have actually had these conversations with my notes right in front of me as I do this. That's how important this has been to me. I want to be clear in my conversations. I want to honor people by not drowning them in my emotional garbage. So get out your journal, open a little note in Evernote, whatever it works for you, and we're going to start with step one. Step one is you are going to list the observations or facts, and remember, these are facts, that are compelling you to communicate about this issue. And this, if you've never done it, may be tricky. And that is because many of us conflate our irritation with fact. And that's what's happening all over social media right now. I call it opinion porn. And we've lost the capacity to see a situation without coating it with a veneer of our opinions about the situation. And in this situation, you're going to pretend that you are a very cold, objective, attorney-like observer. So for my client with the contract that was broken and ignored by the person she hired, the facts are simple. You know, one, we both agreed on these times for our meetings. Two, I set my calendar up around these times. Three, 2 weeks into our contract, you canceled an appointment last minute and then emailed me that the times had to change. You gave me new times. I altered my calendar. Then the very next month, these times got changed again. Now I can't alter my calendar to make these new times work. Boom. That's it. Just a list of facts. What's often hard for someone who has a more emotional pattern is to keep the emotions and accusations out of it. The subtle statements that can take the whole thing out of the zone of fact and put you into a zone of feeling. Like, for instance, might be like, without even so much as an apology, you just emailed me out of the blue. As if I can just sit around changing my calendar. You know, can you feel the difference? Like, we set it up, you did this, what happened? And then you take all of that accusatory drama out of it. And then that brings us to the second step. What you're going to do in the second step is you're going to write down the key emotion or feeling that these observations and facts have triggered in you. And when you do this, you're going to stay on your side of the fence. You're not going to blame. You're not going to shame. You're just going to look deeply and see what happens at the core. Not all the whiny stuff outside of the key emotion. So maybe it's frustration or maybe it's sadness. It doesn't matter. It's just worth sitting with to see what comes up. And then the third step is that you're going to write down the need or the requirement or even the preference you have that is causing that feeling. In other words, there is a need that is not getting met here. There is a requirement that is being ignored. So in my client's situation, the need was simple. It was because of my heavy client load and because of a full schedule and two children, I need to plan ahead and trust that my appointments are going to happen. Very, very simple. And then lastly, you're going to write down, this is a tough one, you're going to write down a concrete request. And this is so hard because it's for some of us, it is so simple. It's ridiculously simple. And because of that, it feels almost empty. We'd almost rather be snarky or dramatic or call our friends and make a big drama out of it or make sure the other person feels like shit. That's not our goal here. Our goal is to get clear on what we want and what our key request is. And this is what can be the difference between being a clean and clear business owner and not. And what was miraculous in this particular situation was that in my client's case, she realized that all she had wanted was for this person to acknowledge that it wasn't okay to make these changes in such a whimsical way, but that's not really a concrete request. And then once she could see that, the request was simply, can we please get on the phone and lay out the times that will work for us in our appointments for the remainder of the year, and then I need to request that we stick to that plan. After you've done these four questions, you've walked through these, you're going to feel a shift instantly. Then you can lay this out so that you can communicate it. And at first, I honestly would coach you to communicate it in this order with a very clear intention to not focus too much on your feelings. Focus specifically on the request itself. And then the other person can either honor this request or not. I have used this with my team. I have used this with clients. I have used this with my family. I have used this so many different times. And what I can tell you is that the results are staggering. If for no other reason that I stay on my side of the fence, I do not bleed into other people's territory. So why I love this process and why it works so well is because I've coached people now for 15 years. And what I've seen is that the tension that most of us feel around boundaries has a lot to do with our own power. And when we feel powerless, we often seek control. And power is not the same as control. In this situation, in this conversation, you're not trying to control the outcome. You're not trying to get the other person to agree with you about how lame they're being. You're not trying to make them coddle you or see how very sensitive you are or get them to agree with you that they were wrong. You are stating the observations and facts and then making a request. Ultimately, this means that you are reclaiming a boundary that was in some way crossed or violated. And then remember that there is an X factor in this, and that is the other person's attitude or response or openness. In my experience with this, I have sometimes gone through this entire exercise and then not had the conversation because the person was not able to deal with it. I had to deal with it in other ways or take other actions. But there are times when you have to do this work just to extricate yourself from the story so that you can communicate with this person so that they can hear you. We're at a time right now where emotions are running extremely high in this world. And so there is deep value in becoming that person who doesn't let these emotions run your business or run your actions or your whole life. This doesn't mean you don't have the emotions. It doesn't mean that you sometimes don't have the snarky thoughts, but it does mean you are willing to dig a little deeper and find the clear and equanimous response so that your energy stays clear and powerful. And this is deep work. It's hard work, but it is so worth it because of that inner sense of strength and confidence and peace that you end up feeling. The basic steps I just walked you through were a little bit like nonviolent communication, and I really highly recommend Orin J. Sofer's book, Say What You Mean. It's a beautiful book. He's a beautiful man, and it's really worth understanding how you say what you say to other people when you are dealing with boundaries being broken in a business. So I'm going to wrap this episode up here right now, you guys, because I think this gives you a lot to work through. And in our next episode, I'm going to dive into the core beliefs that actually drive us unconsciously to break our own boundaries. And so that question, when exactly did I stop being clear, can usually be attributed to a self-sabotagey core belief that will come up in business over and over again until you are able to see it operating in the background and call it out for what it is and then step into that mode of true clarity. Okay, everyone, that does it for this episode. Until our next episode, where we continue this dialogue on boundaries getting broken, thank you so much for all your great comments and all your great emails. I really appreciate hearing from you. I'm glad this podcast is serving you. And thank you especially for going to Amazon and buying my book, The Soul-Sourced Entrepreneur, on pre-sale. It is available now. The book will be coming out November of 2020. If you want to subscribe to this podcast, you can go do that. If you want to give it a 5-star rating, I would appreciate that as well. And everyone, I will see you next week.
I'm waking up, I'm shaking off these tired old ways, and I say to the world, I'm no one.